hockey fans, and welcome to the Hockey News Prospect Podcast. I'm here with prospect guru Ryan Kennedy. I'm your host, Edward Fraser. On this edition, we're going to have an interview with the Canucks blue chip prospect goalie Thatcher Demko. We're going to spotlight the 2018, maybe top two, maybe even number one, Andrei Svechnikov. And the team's spotlight is the Tampa Bay Lightning. But let's start off with headlines, Ryan. Some of the free agents that fans should be looking at across the NCAA.
Yeah, good start for a couple of defensemen, and I would expect that these are going to be the two guys at the top of the free agent class. Daniel Brickley from Minnesota State Mankato and Jimmy Schult from St. Cloud State. Brickley came onto the radar very quickly with a four-point game against Boston University. He's a big kid, 6'3". He's mobile, and obviously he can get some offense in the game. Bit of a late bloomer, played for some sort of smaller junior leagues on his way up. And, you know, he's already in his early 20s, but there's a lot of attention being paid to him already, and I would suspect that will continue for the rest of the season. Jimmy Schultz, another interesting case out of St. Cloud. He was actually considered to come out last year as a junior, but the Huskies didn't have a great season, and he wanted to make one more run of it, so he came back, and that's great for St. Cloud State because he's putting up some nice points early, which is good because his forte is more so being a solid, poised defenseman who can get the puck out of his own zone, get that transition going, but he was a late bloomer. He had sort of a rare affliction that teenagers sometimes get that affects growth spurts. That's all in the past. He got that resolved when he was a teenager, but it kind of put him a little bit behind the curve. But he has certainly caught up, and now he'll be in demand from NHL teams once his St. Cloud career is finished.
With all the Vegas Golden Knights first-round picks, they got a lot of buzz around those three. But they have another player who's making some headlines and fans should be paying attention to.
Yeah, Jack Dugan, who is playing for the Chicago Steel in the USHL, he's a Providence College commit. And this was somebody that I really wanted to get in draft preview because I thought he would be pretty notable. And we got him in somewhere in the 90s, or it might have even been 100. I don't remember specifically, but he was actually passed over for the draft the first time and playing at a prep school, Northwood, in Lake Placid for former pro coach Chad Cassidy. And essentially, Dugan needed to finish up some high school credits, and he had to do it in Lake Placid. So he didn't go to the USHL as early as he might have wanted to, but he's a big kid. A lot of raw physicality, and so far with Chicago, he's been putting up some nice numbers. He's actually one of the top scorers in the USHL right now. So Vegas got him with a nice value pick on the second day, and it'll be fun to see how he progresses. He seems to be on the right track already.
Miro Heiskanen making news once again.
Yeah, Dallas took him third overall, and he was the first defenseman taken in the draft this past summer. And, you know, there was a lot of buzz about him. Great puck mover, and, you know, he can do a lot of things on the ice. But unfortunately, you know, just before he got to Dallas for training camp, he had a concussion, and that kept him out of things. And it actually made him miss the first 11 games of the Liga season back in Finland. He's back now, had 3 points in his first three games, and then HIFK, the team he plays for, they got shut out just before we recorded this podcast. So 3 points in four games. But he played almost 27 minutes in his debut, and he's been playing over 20 minutes in every game, you know, playing on the second pairing there. And that's great news for Dallas because, you know, obviously he's a blue-chip prospect, and to see him come back from that concussion and have good results right off the hop, I think, is very promising. And definitely we're going to see him at the World Juniors.
Some interesting news about a 2018 Swedish prospect, which is going to be music to the ears of Greyhounds fans.
Yeah, Rasmus Sandin, he was playing for Rögle over in Sweden, but wasn't getting a lot of ice time. So Rögle actually loaned him out to Sault Ste. Marie of the OHL. And this is a great landing spot for Sandin, and it's a great addition for the Greyhounds. This is a team that already has a bunch of NHL draft prospects on their roster, including some defensemen, guys like Connor Timmins, who Colorado took last year. Sandin, he had a very nice Ivan Hlinka tournament in the summer. He was playing with Adam Boqvist, who is looking like he could be even a top five pick in the 2018 draft. Sandin played more of the defensive role on that pairing, really allowed Boqvist to flourish in an offensive role, but Sandin can certainly put some points up too, and he can move the puck. So you're looking at a player, I think he's probably like a second rounder right now, but let's see how he does with the Greyhounds. He might move his stock up a bit.
Our interview this week is with Vancouver prospect netminder Thatcher Demko. Ryan had a chance to sit down with him earlier this week.
Well, Thatcher, thanks for coming on with us. And to begin, you're starting your second season in the AHL with Utica. How much of a step up was it to the AHL coming from Boston College in the NCAA?
Yeah, I definitely went through a little bit of a rough patch at the beginning of the season last year. Just focusing on a little too hard on some of the things that I had to work on instead of, you know, just having a little bit of fun and enjoying things. So I think I was able to kind of turn things around a little bit, towards the end of the year there, which was good. But I definitely, you know, struggled a little bit with the jump the first, you know, couple months of the year.
Did you find that the shooters were a lot tougher than college? Was the speed any different, or how did you find the actual gameplay?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a jump up pace-wise, and obviously there's a lot more talented players. So I think that the biggest thing is just, you know, your margin of error is very small. So if you make a small mistake in college, you might be able to get away with it, whereas in the AHL, you know, you find yourself getting beat on little mistakes that you make.
And you had a pretty good career with Boston College. Just curious, what do you remember most about your time with the Eagles?
Just the friendships I was able to make. College is such a unique atmosphere where you're just with your teammates 24/7, whether you're going to class or in the dorms with them, in the dining halls with them, and those bonds that I've made, I really cherish, and I've been able to, you know, stay in touch with a lot of guys and see them during the summer or even, you know, play against them.
Oh, cool. Now, obviously, being in Boston, you had some pretty good winters, but I was kind of curious, you being a San Diego kid, what's it like now living during the winter in upstate New York in Utica?
Yeah, we had a pretty good one last year. We had some crazy snow hours in Boston, like you said, so I felt like I was pretty well prepared for it, but it's definitely a little bit different than San Diego.
Right on. Something else that people always kind of mention with the AHL is the travel, and, you know, especially being in the Northeast there, I would imagine it's a lot of bus rides. How have you found that? How do you pass the time on those rides, and how do you feel about just having those trips?
Well, luckily our travel isn't too terrible with, you know, there's a lot of teams that are very close in the Northeast here. We have Syracuse is 50 minutes away, and then Albany last year was an hour and a half. Rochester's 2 hours. So, you know, the bus trips aren't too lengthy. You just find ways to, you know, pass the time when you're heading to the game. But, when I was at Boston College, we had kind of a similar situation where a lot of the teams were just a bus ride away. So not too much of a difference there.
Fair enough. Are you like a cards guy? Are you on your phone? What do you do?
I'll dabble with some cards if some of the guys are playing, but I'm a big music guy, so I tend to listen to a ton of music.
Oh, right on. And what are your favorites right now?
I'm pretty wide variety when it comes to music, but I like Russ a lot. Post Malone's pretty good. Big fan of Jason Aldean as well, so kind of just all over the map.
Oh, right on. Now, one of the sort of more important events in your young career so far was you had hip surgery in 2016. How crucial was that operation to you? And from the sounds of it, it really almost made you reborn in terms of what you could do mechanically in the net.
Yeah, and before the surgery, I was playing with a good amount of pain there, and you know, my mobility wasn't where it needed to be. It was very restricted, and after I got the surgery done, I was doing some things that I didn't know that I could do. You know, like you said, I kind of, you know, got this second opportunity of, you know, trying to get better, and I was able to kind of use the hip surgery as a catalyst.
Oh, right on. I'm also curious too. I've been talking to some goalie coaches and some international folks about, you know, the butterfly, and obviously that's the dominant way of stopping pucks these days. But it's not necessarily the best for a goalie's body long term. Have you curbed the amount of time that you'll go down in the butterfly in practice? Have you made any adjustments?
No. I try to practice like I play, and I think it just comes down to taking care of your body off the ice, you know, getting in, seeing the trainer for a stretch, or, you know, working some kinks out, or getting in the weight room and rolling out. It's something you got to stay on top of.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, in Utica right now, you have a goalie development coach in Curtis Sanford, and then the Vancouver Canucks have Dan Cloutier as well. What sort of impact have those guys had so far? I know Curtis is pretty new, but how is it to have a couple of former NHL goalies that you can bounce ideas off?
Yeah, it's great. You know, the amount of experience those guys have is really beneficial. You know, I've been working with Cloutier as much as I could ever since I got drafted, and then, you know, it's been escalated to a higher level now that I'm signed and playing pro, and, you know, he's been great for me, and, you know, Curtis just got on board this past summer, and he's been able to come down to Utica and work with Rich Buckman and I, and, you know, he's a great guy, he's got a good mind for the game, and it's been, you know, working really well so far.
Oh, cool. And your fellow goaltender in Utica right now, Richard Bachman, who's also had NHL experience, and he's a veteran. What's that relationship like so far, having a guy that's been around the game for quite a bit longer than yourself?
Yeah, he's unbelievable for me. You know, we're actually really good friends now, more so than goalie partners, which is great. And, you know, last year when I wasn't playing as well, he was always right there talking to me and, you know, just pointing things out that he noticed. And, you know, he's just such a great guy. He just wants to see the best for you. So he's been a huge help to me so far in my career.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for doing this, Thatcher, and good luck the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Big thanks to Thatcher for taking the time to speak with us. Our 2018 draft spotlight this week is on Andrei Svechnikov, who probably slotted in number two right now, debatable in the number one spot, but definitely a prospect who teams are going to be salivating on as this season goes along.
Certainly. You know, Rasmus Dahlin is probably the number one pick at this point, but if for any reason a team wants to go with a forward, Svechnikov is the guy. He's a big dude, comes off the wing in the rush very strong, and he's not a one-dimensional player, which I think is what separates him from a lot of elite wingers at that age. You know, he's a hard worker, he'll dig for pucks, and because of his strength, he can really protect the puck, and he can certainly put it in the net. 10 goals in his first 10 OHL games with the Barrie Colts. Came in as an import pick. He's actually playing on an all-Russian line with Tampa Bay pick Alexei Lapanov and fellow 2018 prospect Kirill Nizhnikov, who's not an import because he played his minor hockey in the Toronto area. So it's kind of a fun thing going on in Barrie right now. But with Svechnikov, he really is what we thought he was going to be. Now, he played with Muskegon in the USHL last year, and that got him acclimated to North America. I was talking to former Muskegon goalie Keith Petrozelli in the summer, and he said Svechnikov was the best he had seen in the league and just had so many good things to say about the young kid. And clearly, Svechnikov has carried that on into his OHL career.
And, of course, since he did play in North America, there's no worry about the Russian factor here.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so, especially because he came over a year earlier to play in the USHL. There's also the fact that his older brother, Evgeny, is a Detroit Red Wings prospect and has played games for the Red Wings. So it's kind of a neat thing where, you know, when he was in Muskegon, Evgeny was in Grand Rapids in the AHL, and, you know, now they're both in the Great Lakes region still with Andrei and Barrie. But I've always gotten the sense from both of them that, you know, they came over here to play the North American game, and the NHL was the goal. And I think we've seen that commitment already. And the fact that Andre has gotten off to such a great start, I think it just shows that this will probably be his only year in Barrie. This is the type of kid that you can put straight into an NHL lineup. He has the skills, and he has the size, and he has the skating. So it seems like a no-brainer to me.
You made an interesting point in our most recent issue, Prospects Unlimited, on newsstands now. There's your sale. That hit with the way the Red Wings are kind of shaping up. They're looking more like a lottery team than a playoff team, that the brothers may end up playing together one day, possibly.
Yeah, and I mean, how cool would that be, right? You know, obviously growing up together, they were always very helpful, and I know Evgeny wants the best for his brother. So, I mean, the Red Wings, it is one of those sort of glass half full situations where if they end up being one of the bottom teams in the league, they could have that sort of nice connection going on. And obviously, when it comes to making that jump to the NHL, it's always nice to have somebody in your corner. And, you know, if they should end up together, then that's great. And I think for the Red Wings, Andre is the type of guy that you would really love to have in your lineup. And you kind of project a year or two into the future. If you had a Dylan Larkin, you know, maybe it's Larkin and Svechnikov brothers on the wings, you know, that would be kind of neat. But, you know, he'll be a great asset no matter where he ends up.
I think fans, including myself, want to see some debate over that first-round pick. It's a lot more fun when there is some undecidedness, if you will. But exactly how close is the race at this point between Dahlin and Svechnikov?
For me, I think Dahlin is still the number one pick, even though Svechnikov has gotten off to such a great start, because, you know, as a puck-moving defenseman who has that Erik Karlsson dimension to him, Dahlin can change the complexion of a game so quickly, and he can also play more minutes. I mean, a defenseman versus a winger, you're talking about a bit of a mismatch there. But as I said before, if you have a team that's really set on the back end and they need scoring punch up front, Svechnikov's a really good option. So, I mean, it's pretty unlikely that he'll go ahead of Dahlin at this point. Having said that, Svechnikov has done everything expected of him, and probably a little bit more. I mean, the numbers he's putting up already are fantastic, and he's doing it on a team that was really bad last year, had very little talent. Him and Lapanoff, and then Ryan Suzuki, who was the number one pick in the OHL draft last year, with all of them coming in, that really boosted things in Barrie. And we're seeing some other Colts step up thanks to that infusion of talent. So, you know, he's making guys around him better. He's putting up points. You know, he's pretty good defensively as well. So there's not much else you can ask from the kid other than being a puck-moving defenseman, you know, if that's what the first team wants.
Team spotlight this week, as we continue to go through the reverse order of the NHL, the Tampa Bay Lightning, some intriguing prospects within their system, starting with the guys who are graduated into the AHL at this point.
Yeah, this is a fun year for the AHL in Tampa Bay. The Syracuse Crunch, obviously, are their affiliate. And it's funny, I saw them play against the Toronto Marlies last year, and it wasn't super fun from a prospect perspective because Syracuse had a lot of older players that were very good, and that's why the Crunch were pretty good. But I was kind of waiting for this year because now you have Mitchell Stevens, Anthony Cirelli, and Dennis Yan, all rookies, and all off to very good offensive starts. What I like in particular is you get some different skill sets here. And we know the Lightning right now have a fantastic forward core. So they're not lacking for talent, but you always want to be cycling in. And you might lose some guys to free agency. We know Kucherov is going to get a massive payday in the future. So you have to contend for those things. But with Mitchell Stevens, you get a heart and soul guy that can do everything on the ice. He can be a leader. With Anthony Cirelli, sort of similar in that regard, where he's very versatile and he's a super clutch scorer. We've seen that not only in his OHL days, first with Oshawa and then with Erie, but also internationally. He always seems to come up with an important goal when he was playing for Canada. And with Dennis Yan, you get a very talented young man who put up some nice numbers in the Quebec League. And, you know, he can really put in some goals when you need it. So there's a nice mix there. There's a couple of defensemen as well that are in the mix that I wouldn't say are as high-end, but are, you know, sort of making their way through. Dominic Machine, Matt Spencer. So it's a good year to watch Syracuse if you're a Tampa fan.
They've also got some players in junior who are intriguing.
Yeah, and this will be a big year for a couple of players in the OHL, most likely their final years. The first one is Boris Kachuk, who plays for Sault Ste. Marie. He's one of the top scorers in the league right now. And what I like about him, and he's very tenacious on the forecheck. He causes turnovers. He causes a lot of havoc. Kind of reminds me of Robbie Fabry in that way, although Kachuk's bigger than Fabry and not as fast. But he's a very valuable player in that respect, and I think it bodes well for him that he's taken on such an outsized offensive role in Sault Ste. Marie early. The other player that's really interesting right now for me is Taylor Radish, who is with the Erie Otters, won an OHL title with them last year, went all the way to the Memorial Cup final. They fell short to the hosts from Windsor. But Taylor Radish was always the sniper. He's got a great wire of a shot, and he always seemed to be in the right place at the right time. He could play with elite centers and really make things happen. But he's been more of a playmaker this year, which is pretty good because the Otters lost a ton of talent. Obviously, you build up for, you know, these runs to the finals. You know, Dylan Strome was there last year, Warren Fogel, Eric Chernak was there, and ironically, another Tampa Bay prospect right now. But Radish is actually putting up a lot more assists than goals right now, and Erie's just kind of an okay team. Obviously, they're rebuilding, but it's good to see Radish still getting those numbers. And then a player we actually alluded to a bit earlier, Alexei Lapanov, playing with Barry, playing on that line with Svechnikov. He's doing great. I was really looking forward to his North American debut because I loved what he did internationally for Russia. And he's pretty much doing the same thing now in the OHL. He's winning his faceoffs. He's getting tons of points, playing with Svechnikov and Nizhnikov, and just being an all-around good guy, a two-way player. So there's plenty to like in the OHL right now if you're a Tampa fan. A
couple of defensemen out in the dub as well.
Yeah, Cal Foote was the first rounder for Tampa last summer, and he's interesting. I want to keep an eye on him because he really shot out of the gates this year. He had 8 points in his first three games for the Kelowna Rockets, but I'm always a little reticent when the early returns come in these junior leagues because there's a lot of players still away at NHL camps. So for me, you kind of have to wait a few games until everybody comes back, and Foote's really cooled off offensively since. So I'd like to see him get a couple more points. He's got great size, and obviously he has the NHL pedigree with Adam Foote being his father, and then his younger brother Nolan is going to be a great prospect as well. Also plays for Kelowna, but up front. Libor Hayek is another player who I want to keep an eye on. He's playing for Saskatoon. Right now, he's -7, and I know we don't really pay attention to plus-minus anymore, but you know, there's not a lot of Saskatoon players that are down that far, so I kind of want to dig in more and see what's happening there. But having said that, Hayek, you know, another player with really good size, and you know, he's got some pretty good mobility there and plays a two-way game, probably leans more to the defensive end of things, but yeah, definitely worth keeping an eye on.
Nick Perbix in the USHL?
Yeah, Nick Perbix was a late-round pick this past summer, and he's playing for the Omaha Lancers, and he's off to a great offensive start, putting up some nice numbers. He's a St. Cloud commit. I saw him a little bit last year in the Minnesota High School League, and there's some nice potential there. I also like his younger brother, Jack, as well. He's up for the NHL draft this summer. And another player sort of in that area is Sammy Walker. He was another late-round pick in 2017. He's going to be playing some Minnesota High School again this year with Edina, which tends to be one of the stronger teams in the state. And, you know, Minnesota High School doesn't really get going until the winter. I think late November, early December is when the games start, and it's not a long schedule. So what they do is they have an elite league where they bring all the best players from around the state, and then they have a couple of, like Wisconsin has a team as well. And they have these games, and Sammy Walker ruled the regular season for Team Southwest, had 2 points a game. The Southwest ended up being the regular season champion, so they're moving on to the playoffs there, and that's a very highly scouted league because you get a lot of nice players coming out of Minnesota, and you know, for a lot of them, they don't really have a place to play at this point in the season, so it's a good primer. And Sammy Walker, he's a University of Minnesota commit. So with him and Perbix, Perbix is a St. Cloud commit, you're getting guys who you're probably not going to hear about them too much for a couple of years, but worth keeping an eye on.
The Lightning are a great study in a team that acquires or accumulates assets potentially for dealing them, because this is a win-now team, especially with the way they've kicked off the season. So they could use some of these prospect chips to potentially add players if they're going to make a serious run this year.
Yeah, certainly. And you look at players who have stepped up in the past couple of years, a guy like Braden Point, who was, you know, like a solid prospect, but I don't think we necessarily expected him to be as excellent as he has been so far. And, you know, with him coming up, you just get so much flexibility in that roster, and you add in guys like Stevens and Sorelli and Yan, who I don't think are too far away from the NHL, maybe a year or two. And it just gives you so much flexibility. And like I said before, you know, they're going to have some contracts to deal with in the next couple of years. They have most of their core locked down long term, which is good, but you got to make the numbers work year after year. So it's really good to have those options. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning have set themselves up pretty nicely.
That's our look around the world of prospects for this week. Next week in the spotlight, we're going to be looking at the San Jose Sharks. For Ryan Kennedy, I'm your host, Edward Fraser. Thanks for listening.